listener production.
Okay, here we go.
He is ice cool in moments like this.
Oh, the big fella runs back into heavy traffic. Look at him go!
Welcome to Footy Talk. The boys are in the studio. Adam Peacock alongside Mitchell Pearce, face to face with Todd Carney. How are we, boys?
Good, Zulu.
Oh, big breath.
Nah, it's always good to come here and do a live one, but because I enjoy it. But it's always good to see Mitch. Like we always say, we're always talking about things and how we can better ourselves. And yeah, today's we're just gonna do this and have a chat about our sixes and sevens stuff that we're talking about and try and get the ball rolling, put some steps in place moving forward. So, yeah, it's really good to get down here and just hang out with him too.
Good stuff. Zulu, you call him.
Yeah, I don't even know where that came up.
We just got weird nicknames.
We just had all these weird nicknames when we were playing and then it...
What do you call him?
Bulu or Zulu. But funny story about weird things. We used to call on the field apples.
Okay.
Just yell out apples. And if he yelled out apples, I'd flick the ball from one side of the ruck to the other side of the ruck.
It actually worked too. It was a good play. Yeah.
Did anyone in your team know what the hell was going on apart from you two?
You know when we got a try off it? It was in the finals when you had that blinder when Braith kicked the field goal.
When Braith kicked.
So, I might have to get some footage of that one. We had a...
Everyone just remembers Braith's field goal. They don't remember
he was a man
who
of the
else
match.
Played.
I thought he was a man of the match. So yeah, you got to sit back in the game with a chip and chase.
Yeah. And apples, yeah, it's a
and
play.
Apples apple, worked.
It was
that
called
night.
Apples, and no one else in the team knew.
It's a good
just
play.
Apples, yeah.
So Zulu and Bulu,
apples, yeah. Get out of the way, boys. Yeah.
Just don't start calling me Lulu. Anyway, yeah. Guys, speaking of sixes and sevens, it's a great name, by the way, and I look forward to where it, how it develops and where it goes. But a bit of uncertainty at South. So as we sit here right now, there's a meeting going on. This is when the meeting's going on at Maroubra between the board members of Souths. They're all dialing in to work out what they're going to do with the coach, Jason Demetriou, who we all hope doesn't lose his job and doesn't lose his livelihood for now, but it doesn't look good at the moment. What's that uncertainty like for a player? To park the decision to one side whether or not he's been punted or not, the uncertainty for a player when all the headlines are about your coach and you're rocking up parking the car at training each day to go in and try and better yourself. What's that like?
The uncertainty for a player is it can be different because if the coach is the issue and the players sense that the coach is the issue, they're probably waiting for a fresh coach to come in. Mm. But if they've got the coaches back and then they don't know who would be the interim coach if he was to get sacked, it would be a sad day for players. But then also, usually an interim coach comes in round 20, round 22, not round seven.
Yeah.
So the interim coach is going to come in. One will want to come in and win, and then the players will want to jump on the back of the interim coach because they don't want to keep going. So the thing when an interim coach comes in, teams start to win at the back end of the year, they can find something. But the thing that was noticed out of this, if he does get sacked today, and from more reports they say he's going to, and if it's a bloke like Fernsey that comes in and they start winning, that means there was an issue with the coach.
Mm.
But if it's the same old South, well, it's not a coach issue, it's a player issue.
Yeah.
So today, the fans of South will find out if it's a player issue or a coach issue, either way, if he's to get sacked.
Yeah, I think on the back of what Toddy's saying, it seems to me it's more of a coach issue because if it was a player issue, they probably would have come out and backed up the coach before this point. Obviously, it's been a big process, lots of talk. You'd think that maybe some of those players are happy with the decision. Who knows? Because you haven't seen anything from a captain or senior players come out and really back him. And for me, from experience, that sort of seems like it's a bit of a clue to where they're at. It might be what South need. I don't think it can be all just the coach. We've been in teams when everyone's blaming and pointing fingers at the coach. And as a player, you know, you got to take some accountability. So it's going to be interesting to see the next couple of weeks what happens and how their form turns around.
Have you guys ever noticed as a player, you might have been that player, but in your time in rugby league where a coach is under pressure and a senior player has gone above and beyond and gone to management and said, no, don't aim your guns at this guy. It's our fault. Like they've taken responsibility and kind of jumped the coach to let the decision makers know what exactly is going on.
Well, I think if there's love and respect there, it doesn't get this far. If a coach is getting criticised publicly over a couple of weeks, you know, 2 weeks max, your players are coming out and backing your coach. Like, you're never going to see Trent Robinson, Craig Bellamy, Ivan Cleary with the success they've had.
Mm.
If there was little leaks coming out about their coach getting criticised, I'm pretty sure their senior players have got their back pretty hard, pretty fast. just from experience. But who knows? I've been in the alternative situation before at times. And sometimes you can sort of tell where the club's at and where the players are at. But as Toddy just touched on before, it's a big couple of weeks to see how they rebound as a playing group, because at the end of the day,
well,
the coach
is
one,
isn't it?
Well, it's on them. So it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back.
Yeah, it will be left to them. And the coach that comes in, if it happens, will have different ideas around players and positions. And I know if it's Fernsey, he won't have trouble making those decisions because I've been coached by Fernsey. He's a proven leader from when he played, but also when he coaches, probably sometimes too full on. But he won't be afraid of having tough conversations because Fernsey's an alpha male. He's a mad bluer. So he would put that front on. Not saying that that's where it would get to, but he's one of those blokes that I think would have a tough conversation with blokes if they had to move positions. But
mad bluer, I love it. For those listening, that's not a big New South Wales fan. That is actually a bloke, David Ferner, who can throw them.
Yeah, he can. Yeah.
So you're not arguing
with
the guy.
I've watched him when he was a coach. Like they'd have a fight club during the week every Tuesday, and he was busted up. Another bloke was busted up. He's good, and if it was to be Fernsey, and only because I've got a soft spot for Fernsey, he'd be unreal. He's been sort of through the ringers at a few clubs now. I got let go by the Tigers last year when he thought he was going to be there. And you're putting someone in that's hungry and wants to succeed. Not saying that JD doesn't, but it'll be interesting for the whole club of interesting for the NRL and the game, that if there's a progress from it, it's good for everyone, the fans and the players and stuff. So hopefully that something gets cleared up today.
Have you ever had an interim coach?
I had Christian Wolf at the back end of my stint in Newcastle with Brownie.
Yep.
It was a similar situation, to be honest. There was a lot of talk around Brownie leading into the back end of the year. And then obviously I think Brownie might have stood down.
Yeah.
He obviously sort of saw what was coming from the club, and Christian Wolf took over for a couple of weeks. But yeah, just on the back of Fernsey, I want to give him a rap. I got a big rap on Fernsey too. I had him as an assistant coach. Me and Toddy were only talking about it earlier. I got a lot of time for him. He was always a good fella to me. And
that was in Newcastle, was it?
Newcastle, yeah. So
he's been around.
He's a stand-up sort of guy, isn't he? And I think with the group that they got, he's going to take no prisoners, and he'll be in there and stamp his authority, and he's a bloke you want to follow. So it'd be good to see if Fernsey gets a start.
If it is David Ferner, and we're jumping along without knowing the facts yet, because they're still in that meeting, as mentioned at the top. But just in general, with an interim coach coming in, is it – I don't know how much you guys remember of your school days, but is it like, you know, replacement teacher on a Friday afternoon in science type thing vibe? Or is it, oh, let's really listen to this guy because everything's on the line right now, because our reputations as players are on the line because the coach has just got sacked?
I think back end it could be, because like I said at the start, that usually interim coach comes in when the season's done. You can't make finals, so they want to start fresh and before the new bloke comes in. But in this instance, it's round 7. South can still make play finals. South can still win the comp if they perform. So the players, if it happens, will be sitting there going, one, who's it going to be? I'm sure if it was going to happen today, the players would have a fair indication who it was going to be. So the best thing about rugby league is we'll get to witness it this weekend if it happens, because they'll run out of that coach this weekend and maybe the performance will be better. But yeah, it's an interesting one because it never really happens this early in the season.
Yeah.
You wonder how much pull the players have got too. Like obviously the bosses, you'd think that they'd be speaking to Cam Murray and their senior players there at the club. That usually happens at a strong club, and it's a proud club, South Sydney. So it'd be interesting to see what the players' push is on it and who they wanted as well. As Toddy said, it's a long season. You've still got, you know, over 20 games to go till finals. So, and they're game on. They only need a couple of wins and they're back on, and they've got some of the best players in the game there that just aren't firing at the moment, that need that spark. So it'd be interesting to see if the players have had much of an influence on who's coming in.
So the interim coach coming in does have authority. It's not like the players go off and try and rectify it themselves. That there is, like when you had Christian Wolf, there was ears pointed in his direction and very much taking in instruction clearly.
Well, I think as Toddy said as well, it depends when the coach comes in. Obviously, the coach that they're bringing in now, they're bringing a coach in to coach for 2 years and he's their next coach, or is he on Yeah. Like a train and trial.
On matches.
Exactly. Yeah. He's on the matches. He's on the matches.
Like, are you guys on matches here, by the way, or you got a contract here?
Charlie.
Producer Charlie.
Come on, Charlie.
Yeah. You're just throwing him
the Blake Solly of Triple M. Come on, sort it out.
But yeah, obviously, it depends on the reaction. And as Toddy just spoke about before, sometimes you can get a really good rebound because if the place has been negative and the coach has just sort of dried the room out a bit and they need a fresh start, you can get a – sometimes as players, that's all you need. You need that spark, a new voice. And sometimes us players, you need an excuse. It's not the right thing, but sometimes players need an excuse. You go, oh, now I can play well. It takes the pressure off. And that happens. So it's just going to be interesting to see how South turn up the next few weeks and it'll be an indicator of where they're at.
We'll start on Thursday night. If JD's still there or another coach is in, they play Penrith.
I guess the big one, fellas, is too, for the person that comes in, is Wayne taken over next year?
Or so, someone else.
Yeah, or someone else. So it'll be interesting. But I'm sure whoever comes in is going to want to put their best foot forward because, as we know in the NRL, coaches' jobs aren't safe. So if that person comes in and does the interim for the next part of the year and they do a really good job, they're putting their hand up for a job elsewhere or to stay at South.
Yeah.
Braden Trindle, obviously is having a few weeks off after his, well, on the face of it, pretty poor decision after a big win at home over North Queensland a couple of weekends ago. But on the Sharks, how they dealt with that, quickly gave Braden Trindle time away and to go away and then go down to Canberra and do that to the Raiders, who obviously couldn't bounce back after a tough week in Brisbane the week before. What does that say about the Sharks, that dealing with a pretty heavy off-field distraction and dealing with it in that way, i.e. not missing a beat, it looked like?
Well, they look like a together club. Obviously, Fitzy's the leader there, Craig Fitzgibbon, and he's an ultimate leader of men. And Fitzy's, he's a lad as well. Like, he's obviously a head coach and he's a professional, but he's probably seen both sides of the coin as a player and lived a life of plenty of different ways. So he understands the personality. So he'd be a great coach for Trindle to understand and to help him through this situation. And he would have stressed to the team the importance of getting back on track and playing, just focusing on the result. Because when you're in good systems, you can usually get the job done regardless of what's going on around. Sometimes it can be a distraction, but I think someone like Fitzy would manage this really well. And hopefully for Trindle's sake, he can go and get some help if he's obviously been struggling. From our point of view, we've been in these situations plenty of times. And I love Trindle as a player. He's a great player and he seems like a really good lad. And hopefully if he is struggling, I'm hats off to him. He's obviously put his hand up and taken accountability. And I wish him all the best. And if you need any help, mate, give us a call.
Yeah, I think with Cronulla, it shows there that Nico's the main man. And they've got some young kids there that stepped in on the weekend that will play well. But for Cronulla, I think they've handled the situation well. I think Trindle's handled the situation well. What the NRL does is obviously up to them. And I'm sure they'll have some kind of punishment if they feel Cronulla's isn't. But I guess that around the whole Cronulla thing, that yes, they've performed after it and that shows what kind of group they are. I think with things like this, and it's a good place to talk about it for Braden or any player, that we do make mistakes. It's how you go from when you make that mistake. I don't know, through my career I made plenty of mistakes and they're ongoing, but by the back end I'd started to understand, and obviously now fully retired, I understand the consequences of it. But I think for players, when stuff like this happens, it's not, okay, you need to go to a counsellor or something for, like, forced to go do something.
Just tick a box.
A box. You need to dive into actually what's going on. And then the player has to be open to that. But sometimes it's, oh, okay, we'll give him a 2-week punishment and a big fine. A monetary fine sometimes doesn't bother a player because we make good money anyway. And sometimes players play for the love of game. Yes, we get paid like anything. You have to get paid to do something. But a lot of it comes from you do it because you're good at it and you love what you're doing.
Is that what hit you hardest when, say, your misdemeanors, you cop a fine, but also the punishment? It was the punishment you thought of first in terms of you're not allowed to play?
Yeah, well, looking back to my time at Cronulla when the bubbler scan happened, it was still 13 rounds to play, I think it was, looking like playing finals. I offered to hand up my whole contract for that year and the next year, not play at all, and then go on $150,000 the following year. Well, obviously, Steve Noyes had other plans for that,
yeah.
Which is completely different. But I think what it is that there's no point in it keeping on going in the paper and banging him down.
Mm.
Everyone makes mistakes. I'm sure over the weekend there would have been 50 people done DUI in Cronulla on that weekend, but he's the one person that gets put in the paper. And, yes, we are role models and stuff like that. But, yeah, hopefully if reports are right that he's going to check himself in the rehab and stuff like that. But another thing is too that you need to sometimes – not saying it because I would be happy to help him – is that you need to put him in front of people that understand what he's going through. Like, we can go to a counsellor and stuff. They don't understand – they understand what it's about, drinking and whatever it is, drugs or whatever – but they don't understand the lifestyle and how it's been, where players that have been there and done it and cleaned themselves up understand.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a, yeah. So hopefully he gets the help he needs and Cronulla keep performing, because he will come back into that team.
Yeah.
Might be the best thing for him too. He goes away and freshens up, gets a bit of a detox, clears up a few things he needs to work on, and then he comes back a better player.
Mm.
I think the other thing is too, like Nicho Hynes, I've heard him speak a fair bit around addiction and well-being and stuff like that. He looks like he's around some solid guys that'll help him out. So, and the way they performed, as you just said before, the way they performed, it looks like they're a stable club. And yeah, I wish all the best for him.
Little break on Hard's edition of Footy Talk. Back in a moment about kickoff dramas. Should the kickoff stay? And also we'll have a close look at Luke Keary, player spotlight. Gents, it's a hot topic at the moment, the kickoff. Do we ban it? I don't know.
No.
I haven't heard one player say ban it, or one recently retired player say get rid of it. It's all journos, pencil necks like me saying, you've got to ban it.
Well, I've done a thing on Saturday.
Why do the journos want to ban it, but?
I don't know.
I don't know.
This is player world. They're worried about you.
Yeah. I done a thing Saturday, and I didn't say that I wanted to ban it. I didn't really go into the topic. I said, if it doesn't, it's better for the game. Yeah, sweet. Yeah. So be it. No one forgets the shoulder charge. I've been getting hammered on social media. Reason why I didn't really want to have it. But,
yeah,
mate, it's just like the fans don't want it banned.
No.
And listening to – I'm a half, so I don't take the kickoff. have to tackle
Have you ever taken a first hit up of a game?
Yeah, like, when accidentally? I was at fullback by a fumble and took it in. No, we just the collision's not the same, because why the collision's so hard is because the big meathead front rower comes from the back fence and he wants to get through them.
Yeah.
And then the defensive line is usually other meathead front rowers flying out trying to take his head off, or to just end it there. They want to stop him in their track. So,
you know, it'd be interesting to actually do a survey with all the front rowers and see what they want to do. Like, because they're the ones that take the hit up.
Yeah.
And there's obviously feedback. And if anyone was worried about collisions,
this is one way they can have a decision made for themselves by themselves, as opposed to, say, captain's challenges, where it looks like all props have been banned from doing a captain's challenge.
We'll just see what the front rowers say. They're the ones that are taking the punishment, and they're the ones that are going to get the long term damage. Go and ask the front rowers. The NRL should go and ask the front rowers and say, what do you want to do? Are you happy with this? They're the ones taking the punishment, and it's good for the game. Like, I don't want to see it.
The thing is, but
I don't want to see it gone.
If you think back to when Carmichael Hunt played, and if he was still playing today, and we banned the kickoff, we would have to ban kicking the ball so deep to Carmichael Hunt, because he didn't run back and step. He caught the ball and took his yards and ran straight into the teeth of it. So they're talking about, because obviously the collision is so far away, they have to run so far.
Mm.
So are some of the kicks. So they've got to be careful with if they change the kickoff. That's not the saying that they're going to have to change all the
rules. You're saying in general play.
But it's very similar.
General
play, when you kick long from your 30 and they catch it on their 30 and they've got to bring it back and they meet them on halfway.
Like the same impact.
Like Chevy Stewart. Exactly the same.
A couple of weeks ago.
That's a bigger hit than all kickoffs.
Yeah.
So,
and it looked spectacular because the poor kid's 83 kilos and he got absolutely whacked.
So I guess they've got to be careful how they change things, because then the person out there will be going, why don't they change this then?
Do you know, you're onto something there, Mitch, about doing a front row survey. I'd be interested to hear what Mark Carroll and Paul Harrigan say about it, because I was there that night. I was in that corner at Marathon Stadium, and I heard it. It was like it was just air kind of being just thrown up into the atmosphere, and you heard the collision. It was ridiculous. But those two guys, that's how they wanted to play it. That they were, you know, the alpha male v alpha male, bring it on. But interesting now that they're living with the consequence of playing rugby league, if they'd be okay with the kickoff staying or going.
That's a good point. They'd be probably the two best guys you could ask because they've obviously lived it, and they lived it in the hardest era when the game was played, I suppose. There was knockouts nearly every game. But
did you ever take one?
I've taken one when there was like it was a windy day and the kick's gone up, held up in the air, and yeah. I just did the old rolled the back in.
The old
little trick you can do as a half is because if a front rower comes and jams you too hard, you just call him a cat. Hey, you're picking on a half, mate. What are you doing? So we got a little out. But as a front rower, you can't say that.
But listening to players that, well, MG, just five minutes ago, we're talking before we come on air, he says no. He was a big fan. I listened to James Graham last night. He's a dead no. And he's had the repercussions of the head knocks and stuff where he talks about it, for things like that. So at the end of the day, we all put ourselves in a position to play the game.
Yeah.
We know what we're out there, what you're going to get from it.
Yeah.
And I know there's players that obviously suffer it worse. One of our best mates, Boyd Corden, had to retire from head knocks.
At 29, like wasn't it?
Yeah. It's not nice seeing your mate go through stages like that. Thank God he's fine now.
Yeah.
But it's a tough time, and we all know that, but does taking the kickoff stop that?
Another one as well is, okay, if they say kickoffs, are they going to then ban blindside shots out of the line? I won't say blindside shots, but, you know, when you don't quite have a player, you guys can speak to it more than I can, but maybe you don't have a player in your peripheral vision and all of a sudden, I'm thinking Steve Maddie here, just coming out of nowhere out of the line because he knows you're going to get the ball and he just puts an enormous shot. I don't know if you ever got Maddie'd, but shots like that, does that then become the next stage? Okay, we've done that with the kickoff. We're going to move on to those ones.
Well, like Toddy just said, it opens up Pandora's box. So like the Carmichael Hunt kick returns, if you're going on impact, I'm sure those impacts are just as hard as a kickoff.
Mm.
And then you've got outside backs going down short sides, taking hit ups at halves on a short side. Like, it opens up a Pandora's box about where they're going to stop.
Mm.
The problem with that is in 10 years' time, we might be playing touch footy. That's the risk. So once they start to...
There's talk of that, isn't there?
Once they start to do this and then the rules keep changing, like even, you know, you've got the short dropout now, you change the kickoff rule.
Yeah.
It's becoming very fast. And obviously there's the health reasons. So I don't know.
Reverse it all and bring back the biff, the shoulder charge, everything.
Bring back the John Hoppawattie one on Keith Galloway off the tap.
Remember that one? I was there that day as well. It was like a helicopter. Yeah.
Josh Miller, Michael Wayne, Josh Miller, O'Mealy, like some of the hits. Yeah. Like
Bryce Gibbs.
Yeah. It's the one that Jared got done on. Who was it? Simon Dwyer.
We're in that game.
That was a penalty.
That was ruthless.
It shouldn't even been the field goal. Yeah. It was a penalty.
What was that hit like when you were out there?
It was
Can you hear it?
As you said, the big crunch. Like just,
That was bad, that one.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever get mad-eyed?
Nah.
Oh, you know what? I got hit in an origin from Will Chambers. I got carried off.
Yeah,
I got walked off. I was out cold for about 40 seconds. But he sort of got me. No, I was on a little short side.
Mm-hmm.
I went down and he sort of blindsided me. It was kind of legal, but.
Yeah, you had a glass chin.
Yeah, I know. I didn't stay down very often. He must have got me good, eh? Steely man.
you never got tagged like that?
I got knocked out playing Reggie's ones.
Yeah.
Playing against Newcastle for Canberra. And I come off and was in the sheds and I tried to run back out. And then I was sitting there in the game watching and my mum was there. And I said, oh, why am I not playing first grade? But I was playing Reggie's.
Mm.
But I'd been dropped back from playing first grade. I had no idea.
You were out.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the worst feeling when you're in there but you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like it's very confusing.
Mm. I've had a few occasions like that, but we won't go into those. nothing to do with being knocked out.
On the golf course.
Yeah, exactly. What the hell?
That's another one, actually. I was playing golf. I don't play much golf when I was younger. One of my old man's mates got hit with the golf ball. Like it never happens, right?
KO'd.
Yeah, and they were yelling out, four. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
I remember like eight. And I always remember the story because I was like, how's your mate going that got knocked out when we were, and he got hit by the golf ball.
Had to get it cut out.
Yeah, it's still in his head.
Idiots. Luke Keary, guys, player spotlight this week, announced his retirement at the end of the season. Magnificent career, representative player, great player for Souths, great player for the Roosters, three premierships, told Russell Crowe where to go once upon a time, always had his say about how things should be done. He looks like that kind of guy. Sum him up, Mitch. You know him well.
Yeah, you say all those things, but yeah, I've got a lot of respect for Luke. Had a really good year with him in 2017. Mm-hmm. He's actually really intelligent. Guy, I think he's I think he studied and he's got an accountant or finance degree. Yeah, really, really smart guy, good teammate, and what a player he's been. He's won 3 competitions, 2 at the Roosters and 1 in South Sydney in his first year, first grade, I think it was. For his size too, just the ultimate competitor, and playing with Luke, similar to when me and Toddy played together, we had a really good combination. Just his speed, his ability to break the line, his instincts. And for the size of him, he put his body on the line week in, week out. So congrats, Lukey, on a great career and being a champion bloke.
And always, it looks like a player, Todd, that's always willing to run.
Yeah.
So if a pass is not on, if they don't, if it breaks down or whatever like that, he'll just try and find somewhere in the line to aim his attention to and take the line on.
Yeah, I watched his retirement video this morning on the plane before we left. Just watching his highlights, he's just all them dangerous runs. Like, and obviously he puts his body on the line defense, but he was just a ball carrier. He was unbelievable. He could find a gap, but then also he'd create a gap himself by just through toughness, by ripping in and having a crack. And as Mitch said, winning 3 comps, 1 at South in his first year and then the 2 at the Roosters. He's a special player. And then listen to, obviously, Mitch talk about him. I listen to Boyd talk about him a lot too, that he's a front and center at that club. He's a big part of the success. Obviously, they had other players come in, but that Boyd always talks about Keary, that he's a big part of their success. So well done on a great career. And yeah, I'm sure he'll do special things outside of footy.
Saw it early in the season, and you see it all the time with these halves that, okay, they're out on an edge, so the opposition will more often than not find the big back rower to just ping straight at them or a big centre to try and test them in defence. What's it like in the defensive line? You know it's coming, and you know that some dude's going to rumble at you who's 30 k's heavier than you, and you just got to aim up. What's that challenge like, that prospect? What? Is it enjoyable?
Oh, it's enjoyable when you're in the moment. It's not enjoyable watching it at the start of the week and who's going to be coming at you. So you've got all that doubt of what play they're going to run. But I guess if you've got a system right and you can work together with the bloke inside and out you, it's not too bad. But when they just pick you out, it's just hold on.
Who was the biggest nightmare?
The hardest bloke I've ever had to tackle was Greg Inglis.
Yeah.
He had a big bump where he could bump you low. Wherever you tried to hit him, he'd find a way because he was real rangy and big elbows and knees. So if you try and hit him high, he'd just bump you off. If you try and hit him low, he'd just sort of leave you on the ground. So yeah, definitely Greg Inglis.
I had Tony Williams, old Manly player. When he was playing at Manly, he was running off Kieran on those short sides and he was so hard to tackle.
Yeah.
good fella too, T-Rex. I hope he's going well. And the other one was Sam Thaiday. Played against him in some big games and same again, running off Lockyer. They used to play these mad little plays with him and Billy Slater, and he just had a real good bump and he changed his line really late. He was a good player, Sammy Thaiday. Yeah, they were two guys that were tough to tackle.
And Luke's obviously had protection inside and out, as you say. Who was the guy on your inside that you loved having?
Boyd.
There to just help you.
Yeah, Boyd, Luke Lewis was really good for me. He always knew that if he was next year, he'd always have inside or outside sometimes because he'd have to cover you because you'd get lost in it. But yeah, your great back rowers are the ones that talk so much, and the two we just mentioned were definitely out there.
Yeah, Boyd, and then I had Sonny Bill Williams. So two pretty good players there. Sonny was so at the Roosters, when you have good defensive systems, guys like Boyd and Sonny, they just almost skip a defender for you. So it's like defending next to two men. This was so athletic and they're just nonstop workers. So, but yeah, Sonny was a pretty good bodyguard.
Yeah,
I bet. Could hit.
Just hit, and just like I said, athletic. He'd always just cover the gap inside you, and
yeah,
what a player he was.
Did you ever get hit by him? Like, was he still, when you went up to Newey, was he?
Nah, where'd Sonny go after that? He went to Union, didn't he?
He popped around a bit. There and everywhere and
didn't play against him. I remember he got Mace one day, Willie Mason.
Yeah. Well,
that would have been
he got
battle.
Everyone, didn't he? But I remember him. Mace off a tap. It was when we were playing for Roosters against Newcastle.
Yeah.
He got Mace. That was one of the ones I remember when I played with him, but he got plenty of people over his career.
He rattled Willie's teeth that day.
Yeah, yeah. Luna Parkhead.
On that note, gents, have a great day spending time with each other. Great to have you in the studio, and we'll catch you next week.
Cheers, thank you.
Thanks, mate.